This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Beth Nielsen Chapman.
In this world full of mass confusion, either side of the battle lines, there are places where love is blooming and the sun still shines. Come to mind. So much trouble there, so much sorrow. We're all living on borrowed time. Let's just dance like there's no tomorrow with our hearts entwined. Come to mind. Bring your smile with its light.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be welcoming to the show today Beth Nielsen Chapman. How are
you? Great to be here, John.
Great to have you in the studio talking shop with you. BethNielsenChapman.com is the name of her website. Hearts of Glass is the most recent recording. And if I'm not mistaken, Hearts of Glass, if I did my calculation right, 15th?
13th.
Album? 13th.
Yeah, 13th of solo album.
Solo album, okay.
There may be a couple of other special projects thrown in there that I did.
Well, and it was late when I did the counting, so
that's
it could
fine.
Be. And several of which, I'm sure a lot of our audience is going to be very familiar with you and your work. Several of your albums, of course, have charted as well as a number of singles, over 30 years of recording, a teacher, public speaker, performer, so many tunes on television and movies, Grammy nomination, many other awards, including the Songwriter Hall of Fame. And one of the things that I love was that you open up your Wikipedia page, and the first sentence is, Beth Nielsen Chapman is an American singer-songwriter who has written hits for country and pop music performers. And like, that's it. And then it goes on. But I'm like, that's so.
I'm so needing to fix my Wikipedia
page. Yeah, because, in a way, it's just kind of funny because that's such a superficial coverage.
Yeah,
I really have not
got that up to speed. In fact, it has the wrong birthday, and it makes it sound like I'm cattle from Texas or something. So, yes, just go to my website. It's all there.
Well, and as I was saying before the interview, one thing that is going to be a challenge in speaking with you is trying to condense all this information into one segment, because you really have got one of the most interesting careers I've come across. I mean, it's just the depth of it. And the collaborations, the co-songwriting, not to mention all the stuff that's gone on in your personal life, which you share quite
and
a bit.
And still going on. It's crazy.
Yeah, yes, right. As we crazy. All go down our journey here.
Yeah.
But really just a fascinating, fascinating journey with music. Where I oftentimes will start is going to the artist's place of birth or hometown, mm-hmm. Harlingen, Texas.
And I don't even remember it because I only lived there for about 3 months and then we moved to New England.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to get to. It's like normally that's where I would go and say, well, tell
yeah.
us about
what's
the
it like
town.
Being from Texas?
Yeah, give us a little taste of, you know, recently I talked to Katie Tunstall. I said, take us to Edinburgh,
yeah.
Scotland.
You know?
But in your case, with your father being in the Air Force, this is quite the journey,
right.
which took you ping-ponging around the world, including Munich, Germany, and mm-hmm. then landing in Montgomery, Alabama in 1969, obviously
right.
a very pivotal time in history.
Yes.
So that alone is already, we've got enough for a show.
I know,
right
it's
there.
It's crazy.
But let's just talk a little bit about that upbringing. And then at there's a very crucial time when, if I'm not mistaken, both piano and guitar come into your life.
Well, my very first inclination towards music was 5 years old. We were stationed somewhere in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, I think, and the lady across the street had an old beat-up piano in the basement. And I think I was 5 years old, and I would ask to go over and just plunk around, you know. And I just remember being just really loving just the tones and not knowing what I'm doing. Between 10 and 12, we lived in Germany, in Munich and Nuremberg. And for some crazy reason, they decided it would be a good idea for our class to go on a school trip to Dachau, which is a concentration camp. And I think that just burst the bubble of my childhood immediately. I just went from playing with Barbie dolls to what time is the news come on? Because I was so impacted by that. Fortunately for me, my parents had rented a piano and there was one in the house, and my father got a guitar for Father's Day. So right around that time when I was so traumatized by that experience, I started writing songs, and I started, you know, really using music as a way to work through emotions right from that time. And it's never stopped since then. It's been this go-to healing tool for me. And as a teacher and a person, I guess I call myself a creativity whisperer, because I feel like so many people in the world don't understand that creativity is not something that some people have more or less of, or talent for that matter. Talent to me is just another word for the capacity to be creative. And if you think of creative flow as something that exists outside of us, that goes through us, and it's as equal as the amount of air in this room,
mm-hmm.
Then one of us may be more creative than the other, but it's not because there's more air in this room for you. So there's that kind mm-hmm. of analogy that I use. So anyway, then when my dad got his orders and we were supposed to move to Montgomery, Alabama, I had then woken up and seen there was the Vietnam War and there was a civil rights movement. I was all up to speed on the news, and frighteningly so for a 12-year-old. And I was writing protest songs, and and I was begging my father to tell the military, we can't go to Montgomery. They hang black people there. It's like awful. It's like, it's worse than Dachau, you know.
Mm.
Of course, we moved there, and my family is still based out of there, actually. My two sisters live there. My mom lives there, even though she's from New Jersey. It's come a long way, and it has a long way to go.
I had it tough when I was just a little kid. It didn't matter what I thought. I felt the doubt for what I lacked right from the start. It did a number on my head, but it could never touch my heart. Cause I had just enough imagination, just enough to keep the faith. Somehow I would think of what to do when I get lost in a momentary weakness of emotion. All the angels came around to help me through. Life pulls fast changes, wind blows past pages. All I see is I don't need this. High strung tightrope walk, ticking time bomb clock. Scratch my name off, cut these chains. I'm free, kicking out of that prison. I am free, singing up words of wisdom. Let it be. Nobody gonna put the blues inside of. To be the best, I've done it all. I've slammed the doors, I've jammed the locks, laid the bricks, I've built the walls.
songs. Here I stand in ruby slippers. Three taps takes me home. I'm free.
Beth, you've been very much an advocate for women who are either experiencing breast cancer, surviving breast cancer, or just the prevention thereof. Mm-hmm. And as if that wasn't enough, the story about the brain tumor.
I know.
and tying. Okay, so let's start with the breast cancer journey just a little bit.
Yeah.
And how that affected your life's journey and your creative journey.
Well, I had lost my husband, Ernest, to cancer in 1994. He died of a very rare form of lymphoma, and he had been diagnosed and given 6 weeks to live, which was such a shock to us. And he ended up living almost 2 years, and it was a very intense, magical, brilliant time of our lives where, you know, the immediacy of the preciousness of life and time was just in our face every day. And he taught me so much about how to live. So 6 years later, I'm rocking and rolling. I'm moving forward. My son is flourishing. He's off to college. In fact, he went off to college right in the time that he was getting ready to go to college. I was finishing up an album called Deeper Still. And all the songs on this album were about resilience and overcoming things. And it was just, you know, I thought, well, this is just my second echo of the Sand and Water album, which I'd put out about coming through the grief. So I thought it was very apropos. And then I, you know, finished the last day of mixing Deeper Still. I had a regular mammogram again, and then I had been noticing this lump, and it had been really bothering me. And I insisted they give me an ultrasound after four mammograms where it didn't show up. And there it was. I had breast cancer. I had stage 2 breast cancer, and it had been overlooked by the doctor because he just was very passive about it. Didn't show up on the mammogram, so it must not be anything. Made me furious, and I spent the next many years, including ongoingly, letting women know that you have to be very proactive about telling your doctor what you need and understand that if you feel a lump and you can't find it, then you're not done looking for it because it's there. If you can feel it, then you got to prove what it is. So anyway, that's a whole other chapter. But I was so shocked and to find out I had breast cancer, and the record had to wait a year to come out. And during that year, in the fall of that year, my hair fell out as the leaves came off the trees. And in the spring, my hair grew back in as the leaves came back on the trees. And it was very intense, and I was extremely concerned about anything happening to me because my son, I just didn't want him to lose another parent, you know. And I remember I had written this song 4 years before called Every December Sky, and it was all about the fear when you don't know what's going to happen and how every winter, you know, the sky starts to lose confidence in this. It's like this beautiful metaphor for exactly what I was going. It's just every December sky must lose its faith in leaves and dream of the spring inside the trees. And the feeling that the spring is inside the tree, it's latent, but it's coming. I sat on the couch. I'm going to start crying. I sat on the couch singing that song to myself, realizing I'd written it for me. And that gave me the strength and the belief that we are so cared for, even in our worst, scariest moments. You know, we're so cared for. no matter what your religion is, that there is this beautiful understanding and wisdom that creativity is there for us. Sorry. Yeah, I have never gotten this emotional about talking about it, but it's an amazing gift that we have. Mm. And my husband's going through leukemia right now, and it's sustaining us both, and that belief and that sense of honor that the collective whole of creative beauty has for us as human beings. Sorry.
No, not at all. Thank you for sharing.
What drives me, you know, it's so what gives me a sense of balance in an otherwise ridiculously insane world.
Every December sky must lose its faith in leaves and dream of the spring inside the trees. How heavy the empty heart, how light the heart that's full. Sometimes I have to trust what I can't know. Sometimes I have to trust what I can't know. We're walking to paradise. Angels lend us shoes, 'cause all that we own will come to lose. And heaven is not so far outside this womb. My soul is assured. It's just like a song I've known, yet still unheard. And every leaf of fire lets go, melting in. If I could hold you now, you'd enter like a sigh. You'd be the wind that blows the answer to why. You'd be the spring-filled trees of every December
sky. So the brain tumor thing is kind of a funny story, actually, because again, here I had gone through this absolute sense of, okay, I've got this, you know, I am going to get through this. I knew when I had written that song for myself, I knew I was going to survive the breast cancer. And this is almost 20 years ago now. So I went forward with great steam and, you know, many wonderful things happened, wonderful collaborations, wonderful music. In 2009, I woke up one morning and I had this really weird drone in my head, and I couldn't hear. And I had a big, actually a fundraiser for breast cancer, a concert to do in Tampa or somewhere. And I called my doctor and I said, I got to get in to have my, like, see what's going on. And they did a MRI and they came in, and this is at Vanderbilt. So there's a teaching hospital. So there's all these almost a doctor kids, you know, with clipboards, and they came around, about 20 of these students and the doctor came around the corner and they said, well, your ears are fine, but you do have a brain tumor pressing against your left frontal lobe pretty heavily. So have you been having any trouble with words? And I had been having so much trouble finishing the lyrics to this song, and I was trying to finish this album, and I had this one song called How We Love, and I just couldn't. I'd spent hours, and I was starting to get kind of depressed about it, thinking, after all this time, maybe the muse is this thing that just gets up and leaves you, and you just don't have it anymore. And all the things I'd lectured about, creativity is there for everyone, you just have to learn how to access it. Well, I couldn't access it. I couldn't get these words, and it made me crazy. And so when the doctor said, have you had any trouble with words? I went, well, my ego just rose above my fear and said, well, yeah, yeah, we haven't been able to write this song. And he goes, oh, yeah, you wouldn't be able to write anything like a song or poetry right now. We're surprised you can talk. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is fantastic. Yeah, I'm so excited.
I love the reaction. You said the reaction of the medical staff was like, okay, what's
like,
wrong with this
okay,
woman?
Okay, she's a little crazy.
Yeah,
right?
She's ecstatic that she has a brain
tumor. I was
tumor.
Super excited. I mean, you've never seen somebody happier to have a craniotomy in your life. I was incredibly, I didn't even feel connected to the possibility that this could go very badly. I mean, I just kept going, well, I don't care. I'm going to get rid of this problem. I'm going to be able to finish my song. Wake up from the surgery, which was very successful, and it was benign, and it was very fortunate that it was caught early enough. And I wake up, and the first thing I'm aware of in my psyche is like I'm having this weird dream, like camels are coming over sand dunes, and then I'm noticing, no, wait a minute, that's not a camel; those are actually syllables. And then I realized that's the third verse to my freaking song I've been trying to write. That's the line. That's the one. And I, all of a sudden, as I woke up and I opened my eyes, my eye actually, because one of them was swollen shut, my mother's standing over me going, honey, are you okay? And I'm like, I need a pencil. My poor mom, she's like, she's back, you know. And I wrote that song and I finished like four other songs within a couple of weeks. Boom, boom, boom. So I like to... And the big deal is that it restored my faith in this thing I've always believed, is that creativity is happening. Whether it gets through to you or not is usually because the door is locked from the inside. I was working on those lyrics, and they were like stuck in the hallway. They couldn't get through the door. And I tell my students, I say, you can just imagine those lines of that song going, man, she's usually faster than this. I don't know what's going on here. These things that happened to me, you know, I had somebody say to me, man, you just must feel like Job or something. I'm like, no, I mean... I feel like I've become like a specialist in bouncing back. So I feel more confident that whatever it is, I'm gonna bounce back. Mm-hmm. You know, I shouldn't say that too confidently, but I do think we have a lot of help. And I am such a believer in creativity as my number one go-to solution to just about everything.
Life has taught me this. Every day is new, and if anything is true, all that matters when we're through is how we love. Faced with what we lack, some things fall apart. But from the ashes, new dreams start. All that matters to the heart is how we love. How we love. How we love. From the smallest act of kindness, in a word, a smile, a touch. In spite of our mistakes, chances come again. How we love. Sometimes we forget, trying to be so strong in this world of right and wrong. All that matters when you're gone. All that mattered all along. All we have carries on is how.
Beth Nielsen Chapman is the name of Beth's website. I'm going to spell your last name for
Thank
our
you.
Listeners. her last name is spelled N-I-E-L-S-E-N. Beth Nielsen Chapman. Hearts of Glass is the most recent recording. It is a wonderful recording, and obviously you're still going strong. And what a great gift to have your career still flourishing.
Yeah.
30 some years down the road. So
yeah, I cannot complain. And I just want to touch on, having mentioned that my husband was going through treatment for leukemia, I didn't really finish that thought because I was kind of involved in that whole other thing. He's doing really great, and he's supposed to make a full recovery. So that is a great gift to us. And I have just felt so grateful for that. And just this next adventure of life going forward feels again like another resilient moment of, life resuming after another difficult year. So as long as we can keep doing that, I think we can keep the ball rolling.
Yeah. Well, we wish him all the best.
And, thank you.
Wish him a continued recovery. It's been a pleasure talking shop with you, Beth, and I
thank
hope we
you.
Get a chance to visit down the road.
All right. Thanks so much.
You got that light shining like the morning. It's so bright not to be believed.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Beth Nielsen Chapman. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online, on Facebook, as well as Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the University of Montana Entertainment Management Program for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.